This is Louis Navalier. It is Tuesday, April 2nd. All right, we've had our second day in a row of week opening for the month, and I apologize I couldn't do a podcast yesterday. I was crossing the country on a plane. But here's what's going on. We had a strong report from ISM, the Institute of Supply Management, yesterday, that its manufacturing purchasing manager index turned up after contracting for 16 straight months. So that was a surprise, okay? And there were some green shoots in there that new orders were rising, production was rising sharply, and fully 9 of the 15 manufacturing industries surveyed reported an expansion in March. So we're not hitting all cylinders, but we turned up. China also turned up. Its Purchasing Manager Index, which came out on Sunday, rose in March. It's a 50.8. 50 is where you're unchanged. So anything above 50 is growth. Anything below 50 is contraction. So this is the highest Chinese Purchasing Manager Index in the past year, and it's signaling an expansion. And China cited that it was really fueled by export demand, and they hinted that their domestic economy is not that strong. But between the ISM picking up and China's PMI picking up, you've got energy prices surging, you've got inflation surging now because of high food costs. A lot of that has to do with the green policy, seizing farmland, forcing farmers to kill their livestock, and of course, banning chemical fertilizer. Now, that's a European problem, not an American problem. But there's a reason there's farm protests all over Europe, okay? And the fertilizer problem may become acute because we're not sure there's enough fertilizer for Brazil, and that means that if their growing season is curtailed, they're going to be in trouble. But us in Canada are fine. We got plenty of potash. We've got cheap natural gas to make plenty of fertilizer. So we're still the breadbasket of the world, but the world is having a problem feeding itself. And it's going to get very interesting very quickly in the upcoming months. So we have food and energy inflation, and the central banks like to ignore that. But in the meantime, the 10-year Treasury yield is backed up significantly. It's essentially 4.4%, up over 15 basis points in the last couple days. And in Bloomberg's reporting, that a lot of people only think there's going to be 2 Fed rate cuts this year, down from 3. So market forces are starting to hedge their bets on if and when the Fed and other central banks will start to cut rates. Now, this is a huge political issue, too, okay? The Fed doesn't want to be responsible for any economic problems, so they tend to cut going into elections, okay? They want to stay out of the political fray. Donald Trump's going to be blaming them, okay? And if you need further blame, just look at Tesla today, okay? Tesla announced a dramatic decline in vehicle deliveries in the first quarter. Dramatic decline. Just so you know, the number was 386,810 vehicles in the first quarter. Analysts were expecting 449,080. So what a miss, okay? So Tesla's dragging down the Magnificent 7, which a lot of people want to now call the Fab 4. But, you know, it's an example of you know, what interest rates do to certain industries. It, people like to finance their cars. And as rates go higher and higher, it hurts. The other thing that's really hurting the financing and leasing of electric vehicles is all these price cuts, okay? Because if you lease an electric vehicle and it has no residual value, it's hard to do a lease, right? And that's where we're at now, okay? EVs, used EVs are like old cell phones. They have value, but it's not very good. The other thing is, depending on how you manage your EV, depends on how stable that battery pack is. So the whole EV story is pretty simple. They have to go to iron phosphate batteries. You can 100% charge them. They work in the cold weather. And they got a longer life than lithium ion. And that's what you got to do, okay? And the sooner the industry does that, the sooner it'll regroup, okay? But in the meantime, lithium ion is in all the high-end EVs. LFP batteries, which is iron phosphate, are now increasingly in the starter models. Tesla has to introduce its Model 2 sooner than later to compete with BYD and Li Auto. We do own Li Auto. They did announce a nice uptick in March deliveries. But Tesla has now serious competition. So anyway, that's why the market's in a bad mood. But we shouldn't be in a bad mood because our stocks have positive sales and earnings. Our stocks have positive analyst revisions. And starting in the third week of April, our earnings will start coming out. Second week of April will be the financial stocks, okay? But third week of April will be our turn. And then we'll have wave after wave of good earnings to drop kick and propel our stocks higher. Now, a couple things I want to note. We still have a fairly significant energy bet. That's helping our portfolios. There's a couple things going on. Russia has curtailed its diesel exports. That is probably due to the fact that Ukraine hit three of its refineries. And so that's got energy markets on edge. And then this missile strike on the Iranian consulate in Damascus has the Middle East on edge, okay? Because, you know, normally, you know, embassies and consulates are not targets, okay? But if they all become targets, it's a free-for-all, okay? And so the Middle East is on edge, and apparently the missile strike took out the Republican Guard officials that were smuggling weapons and doing all kinds of things you're not supposed to do. But, it's inflaming the situation. So that's going to keep energy prices very high. So we can profit from it or we can worry about it. So I choose to profit from it. I think energy is going to be a great bet through September. We got our seasonal surge. We've got tight markets. So I think we should profit from that. Now, if I get any hint that candidate Trump might be the next president, I might want to pare back some of that energy bet after Labor Day, only because he wants to drill, drill, drill. But we don't know if he's elected yet, so we got a long ways to go. It's going to be a very interesting election because we got a third-party candidate, RFK, that's going to be stealing some votes. So one thing I know is that Biden and Trump may not get as many votes as they had last time, largely due to RFK. So we'll see. We'll see. It's time for our best defense to be a strong offense. I do want to mention a couple things. NVIDIA and Supermicro are down today, but they were very firm yesterday. So that was a good sign. The other thing is Lilly, Novo Nordisk have nothing to do with economic cycles, okay? Obviously, these are weight loss drugs. These are low beta stocks that should prosper no matter what's happening. So our top four stocks, which again are NVIDIA, Supermicro, Lilly, and Novo Nordisk, are very resilient. That means our portfolios are going to be very resilient. And then otherwise, I just think we should wait for earnings season and let them drop kick and drive our stocks higher. I do apologize for the surge in bond yields, but this is all caused by strong economic activity, which is fueling some near-term commodity inflation. Okay, so that's it. It's Louie Navalier. I'll keep updating the podcast during fast market conditions. Hang in there, folks. Our stocks are exhibiting relative strength on days like today, and that's a good sign. And, of course, we have stocks profiting from the energy inflation and some of the other issues out there in the economy. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.